What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That was almost a very different show for a second there. Some very sensual music that does not fit with the vibe of New Japan. We are one day removed from the new beginning in Osaka, and that music could not be further away from the carnage we saw in Osaka.
It's been a little while, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little rusty at at the Bread Club stuff here, Kieran. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. New Japan are popping off on all cylinders, no matter what. They got something for everyone, whether you want your technical classic or you want to see 10 dead bodies. Goddamn, and I can't. I'm still not over that steel cage match.
You're still buzzing.
It's going to stick with me for a long time, man.
It's nice to know that you feel something after the last month of heartbreaking news that New Japan has bestowed upon you.
I mean, Okada leaving, Osprey leaving, Tama Tonga I can live with leaving. There's someone else leaving that I'll have to tell you off air.
I don't want to know.
It's someone.
You know what? If you follow Kieran on Twitter, you might be able to connect the dots. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, maybe I've stuck my foot in it there with that little thing. It's a weird time for New Japan, man. It's popping off in the ring, but backstage, it's not so. It's exciting for all the wrong reasons.
That's never what you want to hear. I know you guys out there, you thought the Bread Club was gone, but no. We're just both very busy individuals, but we will cut out at least once a month to come back and talk New Japan Pro Wrestling on Fightful Overbooked, FightfulOverbooked.com, Fightful.com. Kieran, if you forget, Kieran RH93, he's doing wrestling at WrestleINN. And I am Matt from the Shining Wizards at Wizards Podcast. It's been a while. Last time we talked was post Wrestle Kingdom, and we are not short on things to talk about because, as you said, still buzzing from the 10-man cage match. And I'm still buzzing from arguably the best technical wrestling match I've ever seen.
Oh man, wasn't it just beautiful? And the cherry on top, Zach getting the oh so important win. It's the best birthday present to me that I could have asked for. It was a night. I just the whiplash. Do you know what was great? The fact that there was this big time between the cage getting set up.
When was your birthday, Kieran?
February 11th.
Oh my God, happy belated birthday!
I get the new beginning. It falls on my birthday every year, practically. It's a great birthday present. That's Matt scribbling a note. It seems.
Look, I'm a fucking dork. I have just wrote it on my calendar, so now I know next year. Even if we're not doing Bread Club, we've formed a friendship. I can just reach out and say happy birthday to you.
No, I didn't. I put up one little tweet about it, whereas like in years past, I've done my, as a bit, obviously I do my on this day tweets. I've done on this day, however many years ago I was born. But I didn't do that this year.
What? I think maybe you did, but you didn't know it. It was just pictures of you with Will Ospreay, and we got to see Kieran grow up through all those pictures.
You did. I think the first picture there is shortly after he like debuted in New Japan. Like we're talking 2015, 2016, and he's got the Union Jack flag draped over him. I'm wearing a One Piece t-shirt that was far too big for me. It's a weird time to be a New Japan Pro Wrestling fan.
Oh, Nelly's back. It is. Come on. No. Okay, you want to say hi to Kieran? Come on. Come here. Come on. It's been a while. Go ahead. Say hello.
Say hello. The difference is now as well, like, there's Nelly. Look at all the fluffy belly. I've got little Yuki loafing on the floor next to me because now I have this space and everything to have these animals and they can do what they want.
They can do what they want, right?
It's yeah. They're loving going from a flat to having stairs.
I bet.
But yeah, man, I think like Matt said, we are doing Bread Club less often. We are I think Matt, if he could, would do it weekly. In his defense, my life is becoming very, very hectic between moving and wedding and injuries and work life and just everything in between. We will at least once a month. We're going to probably just do it around a New Japan calendar. Like, I think we thought about doing one last week and we were like, well, let's wait a week. And New Japan is on a Sunday. We record on a Monday. That's perfect. So New Beginning, we're 24 hours removed from it. Matt just finished watching the main event like half an hour ago. So it's still fresh and raw in his mind. We'll talk about older stuff, but I think we have to kick off talking about the show, right? And then we can jump all over the place. But goddamn, man, we got to speak about Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. We got to speak about this steel cage match. We got to speak about Okada versus Tanahashi. We don't have to speak about the tag title match. That's fine.
I'm going to want to, first of all, obviously we have the New Japan Tour and there's been a couple big main events, not big, but main events that you want to go see. I can speak for myself. I don't know about you, but I haven't been watching full shows, but this show, I was like, you know what? I want to watch it from start to finish. I got the app on my TV. It's very easy. I just hit the button. I put it in English and we're off and running. So I haven't been watching the opening matches. Bro, Bolton Oleg looks like a completely different fucking dude.
I love Bolton Oleg, man. He is like a child just got superpowers overnight and grew into a monster. He's like so endearing. Like he's this big, I don't know, he's terrifying as well. But because he is still relatively green, he's like so clumsy looking, but so terrifying. Like he is this mishmash of stuff that should not work. I absolutely love Bolton Oleg and I'm so excited for his future. But yeah, I like the ending to the opening match as well. Like Taguchi copying and then like Bolton Oleg being so distracted and showing off his feats of strength, he doesn't even realize Taguchi's being rolled up. It was a great bit.
Who sent Yo the all the ECW tapes with Raven in it and then he decided he was going to dress like Raven? Come on, Nelly.
I don't even remember what Yo's wearing, but Yo's killing it right now. He's really found his character. He's really leaning into it. He's like the kind of tomfoolery, but the shithousery and the winding people up and stuff. And then he's a cracking wrestler to back it up when he needs to.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed the open, you know, I haven't watched a full New Japan show in a while, just usually the matches I want to see, but this was a lot of fun way to open the show. And, you know, Bishamon in the second match against the United Empire of Newman and Great O'Conn. I tweeted about it yesterday. I think the Velvet Voice and Chris Charlton do an amazing job. But if we can get a TMDK, see over here in the States, we have what's called the Manning Cast. It's the Peyton and Eli Manning.
I saw this tweet. Yes, I didn't understand it.
So Monday Night Football takes place on like ABC. It's like one of the major networks here. But then on ESPN, Peyton and Eli, both Hall of Fame football quarterbacks, do their own commentary to the game, and they have like guests come in, and it's very entertaining and funny.
Okay.
I think Mikey Nichols and Shane need their own stream where they can just call matches because they're fucking hysterical.
Yes, I love Shane Hayes and Mikey Nichols so much. Like, we've not hidden our love for them and how it's ridiculous they have not been tag team champions yet. And Shane Hayes is just a different beast. Like, his comedy is like, his backstage comments are always killing me. When they got on commentary though, I was like, oh no. I was like, I don't want Shane Hayes and Mikey Nichols on commentary for Okada versus Tanahashi. No. I don't want them on commentary for Zack Sabre Jr. versus Bryan Danielson. Like, what is happening? And then, like, they were trying to kick him off. And I was like, thank God. Like, it's great for opening matches for a row two show that's just full of tag matches. Get Shane Hayes on there. He's so entertaining. But for the seriousness, like, I did not want TMDK there.
Oh, I didn't even think they were going to stay for the whole show. I just thought it was... That was the furthest thing from my mind. I thought it made sense to have them on the Bishamon match, but then I'm like, they fucking lost every time they challenged for the title, and they were kind of planting the seeds. Like, but even TMDK was like, they lost once, so they're out of the, they're not like contenders anymore. And I was like, what are we fucking doing here?
Fine
match. I like this Callum Newman kid too.
Skipping ahead, the thing that upsets me so much is the fact we live in a world where Chase Owens and Kenta are IWGP Tag Team Champions, yet TMDK challenged three times in 2023 and lost all three challenges. How is it like TMDK, Shane Hayes and Mikey Nichols are so undervalued and so unappreciated, have not held those titles, and Chase Owens is a two-time IWGP Tag Team Champion, and he's now doing it with Kenta, of all people, who... should be reduced, like, he's got no business, like, he's a great character, but he needs to be hidden. He can't be running matches anymore. He's got to be, like, the guy in the background, but... Oh, sorry, I know I skipped ahead a lot there, but...
No, it's okay, it's okay, we're gonna get there, because you know what's next.
Let's not.
Oh, no, I sat through a House of Torture match. First of all, I'm gonna start with the fucking roughneck. How dare he come out? He comes out by himself. What kind of team player is this fucking guy? Are you serious, bro? You, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, is your fucking tag team partner. You leave him to come out with Honma and Tiger Mask? He comes out through the crowd and he's still carrying another fucking jacket. What are we doing, Shota? It really grinded my gears. I don't like this Shota Umino character.
Do you know what I do like is the Never title spray painted black by Evil. It looks really fucking cool. Like,
you know what?
It looks awesome.
Kieran, you're scratching me where I itch. What the fuck is this Hiroshi Tanahashi president doing? He's just letting anything happen. We're spray painting belts. We're stealing masks. And what's he doing? He's got his hair in braids and he's doing air guitar. Fucking step it up, Tanahashi.
Hey, he was busy putting the final chapter in the greatest rivalry in wrestling history, my man. I think.
Oh my God, he's the fucking worst president. He's the worst president than Biden and Trump combined. He's the shits. He's the fucking shits. This is absurd. Absurd. How does this continue to happen? What do you think? Fucking Desperado's gonna steal the wrench so you can steal the mask, but then fucking Show is gonna steal the belt. You know how I separate Show and Yo now, Kieran? Show starts with S. Show is in the House of Torture. The House of Torture is shit. Shit also starts with S.
I never knew you struggled to separate Show and Yo.
And it's fucking Ren Narita, what a little dirtbag. You fucking dirtbag with your little dirty mustache.
The Ren Narita stuff, like, I wasn't excited for it per se, but I did say exactly excited, but I felt like House of Torture was a great fit for him, but it has quickly soured, like, so badly.
Oh, weird. House of Torture soured? No.
We should say, like, if we was doing regular two-weekly stuff, like, Tokyo Sports done their fan votes and stuff like that, and it's really interesting because it's fan votes from Japan, and you have to write in and everything. Gives you a real indication of who's popular and who's the favorites and all that stuff, and it's like, Tetsuya Naito number one, but like Stardom's Tam Nakano is like number two or three. Like, she's right up there. Like, it's crazy how popular that woman is. But then this, you like House of Torture, there's favorite factions, and you can vote for factions from any group. It's not just New Japan, it's Stardom, it's Noah, it's Dragon Gate, everything. House of Torture are very, very high up the top. I want to say in the top five, I can't remember off the top of my head. But House of Torture are popular in Japan, Matthew.
Fake news, Kieran. You want to know why? Because they broke in and they changed shit on the website. They're writing in their own ballots. I'm on to them. I'm on to Evil and Dick2Go. Dick2Go's not doing anything. He's not wrestling. He's not training. He doesn't have a wrench anymore. So what's Dick2Go doing? He gets to the building early and he's just filling out these ballots. He's making up all sorts of names. He's going on Twitter. Anyone that still has an egghead, they don't even have a picture, they get a name. Boom, voted. Dick2Go's busy stuffing the ballot boxes. I'm on to House of Torture. And President Tanahashi needs to be stripped of the TV title, and he needs to get his shit together.
I must say, I could listen to 2 hours of Matt ranting. Like, I don't think I need to be here. We could just have Matt ranting about how much he hates House of Torture, how Tanahashi's fucking up, how much he hates Tanahashi's hair, and I think that would make for some like Patreon-worthy content. You could paywall that shit.
I don't think people would want... After the first rant, I think people would be over it. I also... I love the Desperado, his new mask with his hair hanging man. Out. Oh, fucking badass.
The way he's kept it. I assumed it was a Wrestle Kingdom special when he's kept it. It's fucking so cool, man. The man is just... It just oozes coolness.
I will say this. Someone looks like they've laid off the gas a little bit.
Who are we talking about here? I didn't pay a lot of attention to the opening matches.
Despy looks like he's he's not as jacked as he was when he came back a couple of years ago.
You can't body shame El Desperado,
I'm
man.
I'm not body shaming him. I'm just saying he looks like he's not on the gas allegedly
anymore. I don't know. No comment from me.
Let me ask you this, right? We've got the New Beginning show in 2 weeks, and we're going to preview that after we talk this fantastic card. I know what they're doing, but, like, I'm kind of over Naito Sonata. I know the story.
Everyone is, man.
Right?
Everyone
is it just, like, a layup for Naito to get that first defense under his arm?
I think the thing is, as well, obviously, they're carrying on the Just Five Guys LIJ story, and it's going to be 5 single matches on that night in Sapporo. But the stars of this feud and the focal point of this feud, it's not Tetsuya Naito, it's not Sonata, it's not IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. It's Yuya Uemura and it's Yota Tsuji.
And their hair!
Exactly, that's what I mean. But even before you throw in that just ups the ante by tenfold. But they were gunning for each other, they were fighting after the bell, the backstage comments. These guys were like making sure that they were the focal point of this feud. And Tetsuya Naito, as hard as he tries, he's not going to get that same fire out of Sonata. Sonata's just not that type of person. But yeah, the fact that they've now added in the hair versus hair, and we'll get to that in the preview. Like, this feud is doing wonders. So much more for Yota Tsuji and Yuya Uemura is than it is for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship and that main event scene.
Yeah, and I never thought I would say this, but it seems like Hiromu is like a lost child wandering through the mall. Like,
I think, thankfully, he's facing Doki as part of this feud in a singles match, and that will be awesome because they're two men that just love to crash into each other. It will be a car crash in the best possible way.
It's interesting. I'm intrigued by these young guys. You know, this Tsuji and Yuya. Like you said at the beginning, it's a different time for New Japan. But as a fan, I think if you could be patient and watch these, like this next year is going to be very interesting. But it can go really well, or it could go like real south really fast.
Yeah, it's going to be I wonder. You've lost at the end of the day. 5 stars don't mean shit and stuff like that. It's nice and everything. It's had a banger match. You care more about the story. Like, I realistically, as much as Zack Sabre Jr. versus Brian Danielson was probably the best match, I think the best match of 2024 so far, the match I'm going to remember is that steel cage match.
Right. Yep.
It's two entirely different branches on that tree. And I don't think New Japan are going to struggle for moments in matches that will stay with you like the steel cage. But I wonder if they're not going to reach those peaks of an Okada putting on a match now and an Ospreay putting on a match now, because it's two of the top guys in the world, and
Granted, Shota Umino had a 5-star match against Ospreay. Yotsuji had a 5-star match against Ospreay. Like, these guys still need a dance partner to elevate them at present, I think. They will get there, but I do think I wonder if we're going to hit a drought, and not that it matters, but a drought of, like, no real 5-star matches for a while now in New Japan.
I think you will. Yeah, I mean, I think you will. You know, there's guys who can deliver, but there's also guys who are a little
in a different way.
And there's a lot of guys who are long in the tooth. You know, the 5-star Tanahashi matches, you know, are a thing of the past. He's an older guy. 100%. You know, Zach could pull a few out, but, you know, look, new haircut Kenta isn't having a 5-star match with
Suji. So. And Tetsuya Naito is, again, because he's on the older side, he needs the right dance partner. And Sonata's not that dance partner. Ospreay is, Okada is, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. is because of their feud, but you think Ibushi as well would have been part of that mix, and he's not anymore. Yeah. You still got Shingo, but
yeah, I was gonna say, is this an opportunity, because we already know what Shingo's capable of, and he was at the top of the card a couple of years ago. Like, is this another? Do we see another resurgence out of Shingo?
I think, like, Zach has laid claim to, he's clearly going for the title after Naito vs. Sonata.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is something I'd said this on a podcast, Twitter, whatever, that if Zach beats Danielson, he should go for the title next. Called them out after the match. He said whoever's got the title, he's coming for them. I don't know that we get Shingo necessarily challenging Naito, but I could see some continuation of the Just Five Guys story as well. Shane Haste beat Naito in the G1. I would not say no to that match. I think Shane Haste deserves that opportunity. But obviously, does that sell tickets? Probably not. But yeah, I see Shingo like challenging a David Finlay, you know, for the IWGP Global Championship or something like that. I think it's difficult because, yeah, definitely Naito has to take a step back for Shingo to take a step up to the main event scene. Like, they can't both be there. I don't think that works.
What if we go fantasy book all day? We're going to be here for hours. So let's move on. Let me ask you. We're both here because we love New Japan Pro Wrestling. And Okada's been going through his farewell matches at Currican and the other venues. When you see a professional wrestler that you're so invested in, like Okada, come out and he is already crying, does that hit you in the feels?
Man, it fucking... That whole... Tanahashi comes out first and they fucking... don't have the rights for his old theme song. Like, what the fuck? Like,
yes, I know.
I don't understand.
It's so unfortunate too, because you hear the swell of the crowd, and then that stupid thing comes up and says, "We don't have the rights, so we change music." And you're like, "Oh, like, what the fuck!" And then you gotta go online and click.
There's a whole generation of modern New Japan fans that have no idea how hard High Energy went, how awesome Tanahashi's old music was. We mourned that shit when he changed to Go Ace. Like, it took a long time for people to get on board with his Go Ace theme song, because High Energy had been Tanahashi's thing for so long, and it's so cool, and it was perfect. There is someone, like, I've retweeted it as well, I think it was Ash, Cerulean Blue, on Twitter, put up the clip with High Energy. And, like, the announcers lose their shit, and, yeah, the crowd, like, the crowd, when they realize, because it starts with the Go Ace, and then it goes silent for 2 seconds, and High Energy kicks in. Man, like, that would have gotten me, like, oh, shit. Like, that would have got me. And then Okada comes out, and just the fact that the crowd drowned out his music with the chants of Okada.
Awesome.
Unbelievable.
Just gave me the goosebumps.
Oh, man. It was just so, so special.
That's and I don't crowd think killed there's... It. Like, over here in the States, like, obviously WWE's production, like, is amazing. New Japan does a great job of just... Before this match, the video package, and you know, 12 years ago today was the when the young Okada came and upset Tanahashi, like just great stuff. And I feel like we maybe don't talk about that enough, but their production is up there, it's top notch.
I think you're right. Lots of the video packages they're always good, but these ones definitely hit harder. Like this one and then the Osprey one, absolutely got to me. Like the Osprey stuff a lot more obviously, but like this Okada stuff, like why was this not his last match, man? Like especially now seeing what they've announced that his last two matches are gonna be, what's the fucking point? Like this was perfect, a day shy of the Rainmaker Shock in the same place in Osaka against Tanahashi. Perfect.
Yeah, I don't know why, because his next two matches aren't anything. Maybe it's just I don't know. I wish I had
The match versus Tanahashi, it was good. Like, it was
this was great.
It was just planned hits. It wasn't anything we're going to remember long term, probably. It was very much in the moment, the feels, the emotions and everything. And, you know, hitting that Rainmaker pose one more time. And, yeah, they played the hits and everything just hit a bit harder.
It was exactly what it needed to be. You didn't need to do anything crazy, you didn't need to push the envelope. This is what people wanted, and
you say that Tanahashi done a high fly flow to the outside, he man. Did. You get about one of them a year if you're lucky now from Tanahashi.
Yeah, but if this is your last match against Okada, you know, like you got to pull that out. But I mean, like there wasn't. This was what it was would needed. This was like a love letter. Like this was the Tanahashi Okada love letter to the fans. And if at any point you were along the ride for the Okada Tanahashi journey, like you need to see this match, because it's not gonna, you know, Meltzer might give it 5 stars just for 5 stars sake. If that's what he does. But this was great. This was just what it needed to be. And afterwards with Okada and Tanahashi embracing, and then him bowing to the lion mark, like it was. Chef's kiss. You're right. I don't know why this wasn't his last match.
I understand the fact that this shit tag match comes next. But if you had that back-to-back, if you had Okada, Tanahashi, Sabre versus Danielson, and then the cage match back-to-back, that's unbelievable. That's like the top... You'd be hard-pushed to find any card that has 3 back-to-back matches that hit in the capacity it did. But I understand... It's probably good to give you time to breathe and come down, and then go back up for Danielson and Sabre, and then build in the cage allowed you time to recompose for the cage match. Like, it flowed well, like, as much as I, like, hate this, like, as shit as this tag match was.
Yeah, this was... I was upset when FTR was the tag team champions because they never defended the IWGP tag team titles. This is a different upset for me. I don't understand what the fuck is going on.
It's lame. It's boring. Like, oh god, all this. I don't know. I haven't got anything good to say about it. The match wasn't good. I feel for ELP and Hikuleo. They are such crowd favorites. They've gotten over so well with the crowd just simply by interacting with the crowd. Who'd have thought it? And then, yeah, they get this big crowning moment at Wrestle Kingdom. And a month later, they drop it to Chase Owens and Kenta, of all fucking people.
Did you you ever watch Botchamania back in the day?
Yeah, once upon a time.
The guy, you ever see the clip of the guy just screaming Super Dragon and Super Dragon fucking freaks out? I thought we were getting there with Kenta level here with the guy in the fucking like fourth row just screaming Kenta's name.
There was some great, like, this Osaka crowd was on fire. They added so much to this night.
But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, where do you go? Kenta and Chase Owens, like, what's next? This is, there's no words. And then, look, you're going to, at the new beginning, and we're going to preview it, but I mean, like, no offense. Like, we all know that Tama Tonga's leaving, right? I don't give, what's the point of the fucking Gorillas of Destiny taking on Hikuleo and ELP? Like,
it's G.O.D. versus G.O.D., passing under the torch, Tama Tonga getting a proper send-off match. I'm fine with it.
Okay, I just, like, I don't know. I just don't give a shit.
Tama deserves a proper send-off match after, well, how long has he been with the company? 10-plus years, I guess.
He does. I just, like, I don't know. I'm very frustrated with the tag division.
Yeah, it is a shame. I did said this as well. Like, for them to put on Chase and Kenta in a preview show I'd done, it's such a big step back. Like, after how hard Bishamon and everyone else have worked to raise this tag division over the past few years. Like, Bishamon have been incredible tag champions multiple times, got us through the pandemic, Dangerous Techers alongside them, and then Aussie Open come in and TMDK come in, and then FTR kind of falters a bit, but Bishamon get it back at Wrestle Kingdom, which was awesome. World Tag League in 2023 was one of the best World Tag Leagues we've had in a long time. The entrants were stacked to the head, like, the blocks were awesome. And you put all that work into making your tag division actually mean something, and then you just put the fucking gold on Kenta and Chase on.
Do you, like, my brain is like, is it because you know Kenta lives in the state, you know Chase Owens is, like, is it to get the, are they going to be defending the titles in the states? Like, I don't.
If
understand.
So, surely you'd give them the strong titles as well. It's bollocks. It's bullshit.
Bollocks. I like that. I'm going to use that. Fucking it's, bollocks.
It's bollocks. So speaking of bollocks, Dragon Bollocks, as Zack Sabre Jr. will call him.
This was not bollocks at all.
This was not bollocks. Man. When did Bryan Danielson drop the eye patch? I don't watch AEW. I assumed him to cut. I thought he'd be out with the eye patch.
I don't know.
But
your guess is as good as mine, buddy.
I feel like this is the match they wanted to do at WrestleDream. This was so much more technical. It was so much more ground-based. It was so much more mat work. And that's harder to get over with an American audience, especially live. Because if you're watching it, I've struggled with Zack Sabre Jr. matches in person to get invested a bit, because kind of trying to see, like, get the right angle, you're like trying to get around heads, like, oh, who's grabbing who's doing what. If you're watching on TV, it's great because you can see everything crystal clear and you can appreciate the smoothness and the transitions and the little tweaks just to escape. So I don't think this match works as well in America, but this match was perfect. I can't believe they got to go a little over half an hour. I never thought they'd get that much time, and I'm so happy they did, and I'm so happy Zach won. Said it before, like, if you don't think Zack Sabre Jr. is the best technical wrestler in the world, you're just not watching enough Zack Sabre Jr. I think the finish was a bit like skew if, because we know how good Zack Sabre Jr. can be in these pinning like messes where he'll be in the ring with someone who's like up to his caliber, and I'm not to say Danielson isn't, but, and they'll do crazy pin after crazy pin, and like they'll twist and they'll turn, and eventually someone will catch someone. And it kind of wasn't as clean with Danielson, I felt. So, but it did make the ending seem all the more sudden and out of nowhere because it didn't look as clean. But if that would be, my one nitpick, and I don't want to nitpick it because I loved it.
Right. This was, if you are a professional wrestling fan, you need to go out of your way to find this match. It is hold for hold, checkmate, storytelling, Zach's injury, Danielson's arm injury, like, they did a great job. And because I think they're both geniuses, like, what you were not nitpicking on, but kind of nitpicking on. Like, I could see that as a storytelling device.
Yeah.
Like, you may have pinned me, but you didn't, you know, it wasn't a clean pin. You were gassed, whatever. Like, because they proposed 2 out of 3 falls match, right?
Yeah, Danielson backstage. He went to walk off, and the reporter backstage is like, but you never tapped out. And Danielson's like, yeah, you're right. He's like, if I wanted to, I would go for one more match, 2 out of 3 falls on neutral territory. To which people were like, all in. It's like, you don't understand what neutral territory is. And now people are like, Rev Pro. And it's like, you still don't understand what neutral territory is, my man. Like, Forbidden Door. It's like, you still don't, like, do you know what neutral means, Twitter? But other people were saying CMLL or Mexico, Arena Mexico. And that, like, whether New Japan would want that and whether Tony Khan would want that are two different things. But I feel like Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. would fucking bite someone's hand off to get to wrestle each other in Arena Mexico.
I think it'd be brilliant. Brilliant move by everybody involved. And then, of course, Danielson shakes his hand afterwards. He hesitates, but eventually he shakes Sabre's hand. And to your point, neither man has submitted the other. They've both stolen wins with pinfalls.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, obviously, the argument from Zack was he won with a strike. Danielson won with a strike. He won with a psycho knee. Whereas Zack out-techered Danielson. This was a technical pin. The pinfalls they're doing, that's all very technical. And Zack Sabre Jr. won up Danielson and got the pin. I would say that's pretty definitive in that he was a better technical wrestler. And then they can obviously go down the submission route if they like. But certainly, I think Zack, story-wise, Zack proved he's the better technical wrestler. Obviously,
right, and then
I have your own opinion.
I could see a 2 out of 3 falls match where it's Danielson wins with a technical wrestling move, Sabre wins with a strike, and then that third fall is submission, right?
Yeah, there's so much potential storyline if they do. It's just it needs, again, New Japan were great in that they gave this match the time. It went 32 minutes, I think. You don't get that on a card that's overflowing. You don't get that on a Wembley Stadium because there's going to be like 10, 12 matches. You don't get out for being in law because there's going to be so many matches. This was a, how many matches were on this card? This was an 8-match card. And the opening 1, 2, 3. Like the opening
the first three were under 10 minutes.
The first three matches add up to like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got your entrances, you got your video packages and everything, but they gave this time. Obviously, the reason all these matches really went short is because the main event. But yeah, just like Danielson Sabre Jr., like when they're going hold, and they start striking each other, and Zack is walloping Danielson, and Danielson just starts smiling and laughing, and he's like spitting at Zack, and they just start clubbing the shit out of each other with these kicks. It was so stiff as well, as great as the technical was. They hit each other, man. This was just technical heaven. I'm so happy.
So this match on 5, 6 stars, whatever. However you rate matches, Sabre and Danielson fucking takes the cake.
Yeah.
I was excited for the main event because we have not seen a cage match in New Japan Pro Wrestling in 20 years. And because this story...
And I don't think... There's not many people that have probably actually physically seen that cage match. I think it's very hard to come by. I can't remember if it was on the old New Japan World or not.
Yeah, it's
Tanahashi. It's no fans as well. Yeah, it's the only way they could do it. It is very weird if you haven't seen it.
So I was very, very intrigued, very excited for this. And then, of course, the storyline. You know, this is Will's last match in New Japan as a New Japan contractor wrestler. The War Dogs, the Bullet Club against the United Empire, everything leading up to this, the way we left on New Year's Dash and the way the War Dogs have been, you know, we have the Driller and Clark beat Catch 2-2 for the tag titles again. So, like, there's so much fucking meat on the bones here. Not the cage I was expecting.
No, but I liked it.
But I liked it.
It wasn't very tall, but I liked the space around the ring.
I did not think this was going to go over an hour.
God.
What did it when 64 Ospreay
minutes
comes,
and 5 seconds.
When Ospreay comes out and says he wants to extend the rounds to 10 minutes versus 2.
Yeah, he wanted some alone time with David Finlay at first. He wanted to go from 2 minutes to 10, and Finlay was like, 5. I'll give you 5, bro.
5 was good. And I was like, all right, like we'll get like... 35 minutes out of this.
Those two minutes though afterwards, man, they went by in a flash. Like 2 minutes, and then the next person coming out, like it was just instant. It felt like
it was. Look, I can't speak for you, but for me, this did not feel like an hour and 4 minutes.
No, it did not. I feel like we could dedicate an entire episode of Bread Club just to this match. There is so much to digest. There were so many moving parts. I can't speak highly enough of this match. I can't praise everyone enough in it, like high enough. I just think this was just perfect. I've seen people being like, it's so like self-indulgent and everything like that, and it's so dramatic and it's so NXT, and maybe it is. I don't know. Like, I've not watched NXT in probably 5 years. Like, but we don't get this in New Japan.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, people see it through a vacuum, right? If you don't watch New Japan, you're just tuning in for New Beginning in Osaka, and you see this cage match. Like, this is like NXT War Games. You're missing the story. Like, for again, 20 years we haven't seen a cage match. To get to a fever pitch where these two factions hate each other to the point where we have to put them inside of a cage to contain the madness.
Like, I really would love to go through this match beat by beat, because I know I'll forget stuff and I'll kick myself later. But you start off with Ospreay and David Finlay. Next out comes
Maloney. Driller?
Driller comes out.
Props to him, because he's got like a fucking torn bicep or something, right?
He's wrestling with a torn bicep, yep. Since Coroquen, since he won the tag titles with a torn bicep.
And he drags out the lifeless Callum Newman.
Yep, he drags out Callum Newman and he ties, handcuffs him to the outside of the cage, and he's got like ammo war like thing around his body. Then he reveals it's got forks on it, because obviously he's terrified the fuck out of poor Francesco Akira. And then those two guys wail on Ospreay, and then Hanare's the reinforcement and he comes in like a fucking house on fire. Then who came out? Clark Connors came out next. And then
the barbed wire.
Barbed wire around his fist. TJP comes out next. And then you get the Alex Coughlin comes out next with fucking 20 chairs over his arms.
Chairs.
Awesome. So fucking awesome. And then who's out next? Francesco Akira comes out. And that's this. I said this going into this. It's amazing that this is Will Ospreay's final match. You've got all these people in there, all these moving parts. But the thing I was most interested in was Francesco Akira going into this. The story this guy has told since New Year's Dash in his backstage comments, he just wants to wrestle. He doesn't want to be involved with all these tables and forks and blood and all that shit. He just wants to wrestle. And why does TJP want to go to heavyweight? They're the junior tag team champions. And he doesn't want to, he's scared. Like, he's not afraid to admit it. And he's got the boys backstage going, come on, step up, we're with you. And then his music hits and it's, what type of Kira are we going to get? He fucking comes in like a madman.
Right off the top of the cage, he fucking runs through everybody, and the only thing that stops him is the Clark Connors spear through the table. It was...
Oh, man. And, like, yeah, he's, like, wailing on Finlay with a kendo stick. It was amazing. He was fucking phenomenal in this. And then the last Bullet Club member comes out, and they save them. I say a madman. He's a madman, you know. Gabe Kidd comes out with a trolley full of goodies. Kendo sticks and chairs and tables, and he walks in and he throws a table straight at Hanare, and then just fucking chaos ensues because Gabe Kidd's there. Jeff Cobb, the last one, fucking comes charging in, picks up Driller Maloney and almost puts him through the fucking cage to bounce on that cage. he belly to belly suplexes Gabe Kidd onto chairs. He catches Clark Connors diving off the rope, off the apron. And then it's just fucking all hell, man. Like, I'm missing spots here. They bury TJP under chairs and then they powerbombed or suplex someone onto that pile of chairs as well, the War Dogs. Like,
yep, and, the kid did Gabe Kidd put the ladder on his head.
Yeah.
Terry Funk.
And then, like, once all 10 men are there, you really get into it. Like, by this point, practically everyone's busted open.
Yeah.
Hanare,
holy shit.
Dude.
Holy fuck.
Look, Will Ospreay has put up a tweet about this because Hanare may be lucky to be alive.
Yeah, he glued a towel to his head in the middle of a match or something to stop him from bleeding.
The seriousness of Hanari's injury, I cannot. So this is Will Ospreay's tweet about Hanari. Big shout out to Hanari. I was the first guy that saw him when he was hit. No word of a lie. His head was split so bad, it's like someone left a tap on in his brain. He lost so much blood and taped a towel to his head and finished the match. Like, there's a reason Hanari was not in this match for like 10, 15 minutes. And he should have fucking went straight to a hospital. Instead, he got back into this match.
He's a warrior.
He fucking slaps the cheek off a Gabe kid. He does a senton off of the cage for a table. And then when they're destroying the ring at the end of the match, he suplexes Gabe onto these boards. Like, I don't know. He's passed out. He's woken back up. Like, shoot, legit. Like, he's probably got a fucking axe wound, like, in his head. It's Hanari probably deserves the most props out of anyone. But also, perhaps... It depends on how you view braveness versus stupidity, I suppose. Because it was very dangerous what he done. But if that's what he wanted to do, props to him. Because he's built differently.
Yeah, I mean... Look, man, he's a warrior. He's there to give the people what they want. And he's not, you know, bravery, stupidity. Call it whatever you want. Like, it's pro wrestling. You know, everything's dangerous when you get in the ring, so.
Oh, man. And then you've got Clark Connors just diving, spearing everyone through tables. Like, Ospreay's on the apron and fucking spears him off. And the arsewang makes an appearance and slams Connors face first into this, like, thing for the thumbtacks.
Oh, yeah, the tax. I like that.
Like, and then he throws him again the other way. He's on front and back of Connors, ruined in thumbtacks. Oh, man, the Alex Coughlin bit with the kendo sticks with catch 2-2. What the fuck? That was incredible. Like, if you I'm sure I'm speaking to the choir and everyone watching this has seen this match, but when he gets into the ring, he throws the kendo sticks down and he just tenses up and they start wailing on him. There's some great pictures of him after this. And I can't describe it. It just looks like he's like Freddy Krueger or something. Like his flesh has been peeled off of him and his back. Absolutely insanity. You've got Gabe Kidd doing a pile driver through a ladder that's propped up between the... There's so much and I will forget stuff and I will not remember all of it, but... As much as well, just the story beats. Callum Newman and Ospreay doing the Oscar at the same time. Such a big passing of the torch moment. God damn that. Help me out. There was a million spots in this
match. You know, Maloney hitting Ospreay with the fork. Kid pilot driving Ospreay through the table.
Oh, man. There's like
Akira gets the fork and he takes Akira uses it on Maloney goes crazy, and Connors.
He gets his revenge and... There's like a big clusterfuck of everyone hitting moves and then there's a pinning attempt and Driller just dumps Ospreay with the Driller Killer out of nowhere, like one-armed because he's got
Akira hangs fucking Clark Connors with the dog collar.
Oh, man. Just...
It's honestly like you have to... And look, some people just don't like the blood and the guts and that's fine, but like go into this knowing like this is what like... This was the idea for War Games when Dusty Rhodes came up with it. Like, there's no other option but this, and this is what we've gotten to in this feud. No other option. It's kill or be killed in the world of professional wrestling. This is what we... And it was... I think it's a masterpiece. It's beautiful.
Yeah. When War Dog started to take apart the ring, and they reveal, they take off the very thin... protective mat and then it's just the floorboards and they're just taking steps and they're falling through these fucking floorboards. Like Alex comes in to hit someone with a kendo stick or something and his foot goes through a floorboard as he's doing it, and then when Hanari suplexes Gabe on these and all the floorboards just fucking pop up and go all over the fucking place. I've never seen that before. I've seen the floorboard be removed before. I think Kenny and Moxie done it or something like that in AEW. But I've never seen that was just like one giant wood piece, basically. Whereas this is floorboards.
Yeah.
And I've just never seen that. I was terrified for everyone just walking on that, let alone wrestling. Like Akira's going for super kicks when Alex Coughlin's in the corner and his foot falls through.
Yeah.
And like props, because, you know, Gabe Kidd, you can see out of the corner of his eye, he starts putting weight on some of the floorboards in the background to keep them in place and everything. But that was terrifying. And then Akira's like dead, like the Unite Empire, they're defeated. Hanare and Jeff Cobb are handcuffed. The Arswang's been taken care of. And Akira and Ospreay are the last one. And Ospreay breaking up the pinfall to save Akira and dragging him into a corner, man. Like, that's another bit I loved as well. When Akira, Ospreay was going to do the Leaning Tower with Akira. And he calls him Spags because he's spaghetti bolognese because Akira's Italian. Not racist, but a term of endearment between them, of course.
Right.
But yeah, like Ospreay says, Spags, I'll do it with you. And he puts someone on his shoulders and it gets cut short. Like, that was just such a nice little moment for me as well. Like, so deep in this United Empire with Ospreay Law. But yeah, the ending as well with the war dogs just surrounding Ospreay.
Yep.
That was such a moment, such a picture. And yeah, Ospreay, like, as much as people are saying, why is Okada not putting anyone over? Ospreay's putting everyone over.
Yeah.
He lost to David Finlay at Wrestle Kingdom. He's taken the loss here. And he's potentially going to, I would assume he's taking a loss to Michael Oku this coming weekend in Rev Pro as well. Right. Like, you know, no one can say Will Ospreay is not a professional.
No. Not a, and look, that's, I think that's when, I love the, I love something, the New Japan is so, they're transparent when people are leaving, right? It's not like, whatever, this dude, this there's a story and he gets hit by a car and you never see him. Right? They, there's a proper send-off. Right?
Give House of so Torture like, sometime.
Like, you know, like post-match with all of the United Empire coming together to pick up Will Ospreay and then giving him his flat, like, you put over the War Dogs, you put over the Bullet Club now, Ospreay's going to get his moment. Like, it's such a beautiful storytelling device. You know, people are invested. Like, you, at the beginning of January, Okada's leaving. Right? So, like, people are invested. There's no, like, goofy story where we're going to write him off. Like, he's leaving. So go see him and share these moments with him where even he gets emotional. Now Ospreay's leaving. It's just New Japan does such a nice job of being transparent with everything that you get to enjoy the moment while it's happening instead of, like, being there and then, like, a week later he's gone. You're like, well, I didn't know that was the last time I got to see Jay White or Will Ospreay or Okada or Shinsuke Nakamura or whoever's left, you know? So, and this was like the perfect send off for him.
Yeah.
And the way that he comes out in the Misawa stuff and the fucking crowd is singing his song, like, ah, oh, come on. It doesn't get any better than that.
The Misawa gear and like the post match as well, of course, he's just breaking down. Like, he's repeated the same thing so many times on this, like, this goodbye tour, because it's been so true about how he's been with them for 8 years and they've seen him go from a boy to a man. Like, me and Ospreay are the same age. I think Ospreay's either 30 or 31. Like, he was about 22 or 23 when he joined New Japan. Like, he is a kid. Like, we're all kids at that age. But man, like the post match, like Alex Windsor, his partner is there as well in person, sat ringside to be there for such an important moment in his life. And yeah, God, it all hit way too hard. And then just the United Empire, the guys leave him on the stage to go to have that final moment, just him in the crowd. And even after he's walked down the ramp and the music starts playing, the crowd start chanting with Ospreay again. They start chanting for Ospreay again. And I can't imagine the emotions he must have been feeling and the rest of the United Empire, because, like, I was holding back tears on the sofa.
It was beautifully done, you know, and I think that's why we watch pro wrestling, right? It's not like this promotion's better than this, because you get invested.
It's bittersweet as hell.
Yeah, of course. And now, you know, he's going to feud with Matt Sydal in AEW, so enjoy that.
That's what's so difficult. Like, I know I can just go watch Will Ospreay in AEW instead, but I don't want to. Like,
right, the bloom is off the road. It's like Jay White's on fucking TV every week, and I'm like, I don't need to see, like, it's not special anymore. As fucking bougie and pompous as that sounds, like, it was an event to see Switchblade Jay White wrestle a singles match against Okada or Tanahashi or David Finlay or whoever, you know. And now it's kind of like, oh, well, you can see him every week. And that's, you know, unfortunately, that seems that Ospreay's going that way.
That's why we all lose. That's why we all get so excited about a G1. We're getting so many single matches at once. All these guys that don't get many singles matches, we get like, you know, 10 singles matches. And the rest of the year, you don't get many. So they are special. But yeah, and we've spoken ad nauseum, so has everyone else, about the Will Ospreay stuff. But it hurts. Like my fiance Hazel has got a broken ankle. We've moved home. We're no longer, we're an hour train ride from London. We have to figure out a way to get to Rev Pro next weekend. We can't, like, she watched the match with me and she turned to me and she was like, we cannot miss Will Ospreay's last independent match. We have to be there for that. So yeah, we have to figure out a way to get her and her 1 foot to Crystal Palace this coming weekend.
If there's a will, there's a way.
There is a will. He will be at Rev Pro. Yes.
Well, come on, Will. Come on, Will. Yeah, correct.
Then send an Uber that will probably cost hundreds of pounds, Will.
That's okay. Make it the wedding gift.
I could try. But no, I'm not brave
you,
enough.
Him. He's got to try.
No, I could try and ask, but I'm not brave. I'm by no means brave enough. But no, hopefully we'll all be there. It's got Gabe Kidd versus Shingo as well. Mustafa Ali's there. Like, Youngblood are over here now. Oscar Loiba and Yuta Nakashima. But I digress, as a great commentator on AEW once said.
Stop it, Nelly. I digress. Well, we got, so New Beginning in Osaka is in our rearview mirror, and we have New Beginning in Sapporo, coming up in about 10 days. Hey, do you fuck with that Fantastic Mania at all?
I don't. Like, I think if I was in my old home, I would have just had it on because tiny flat, the living room. I was working in the living room, so I'll just have it on in the background, whereas not that's not the situation now. Right. But I kind of wish I do check in. It seems like such a fun tour. Like, Walker Stewart seemed to have a blast looking at the reactions on Discord and on Twitter. Like the WrestleIn Discord, I was surprised at how many people were watching it today. If you want to join there, check out WrestleIn.com and there's a link. But yeah, I do. It seems like everyone has a blast. Like, the CMLL guys love it. They absolutely love it. And then the New Japan guys always have a bit of fun with it. Taguchi will come out in a mask. Like at the last minute, Ishimori wasn't on the card. He'd been replaced by Bone Soldier. It was the weirdest thing that Ishimori just suddenly didn't show up and Bone Soldier took his place instead. That was very bizarre.
What are you going to do?
But yeah, like, Taguchi's wearing his Pharaoh mask and then like Naito rips it off of Taguchi and Taguchi's like, no, my face. Like, no, but like, you know what I mean? It does seem like it's a very fun tour.
Yeah, man. Look, you get Akira gets to, he can, you know, tangle. He's on the opposite side against Masquerita Dorada and Mystico and just all sorts of fun little matchups. So I think we're supposed to get a snowstorm tonight into tomorrow. So I might have some time to catch up and watch some Fantastic Mania.
I have a confession when it comes to Sapporo, though, Matt.
Uh-oh.
I will be on my stag or bachelor party, as you wrongly called it in America. I'll be on my stag do the weekend of this show.
What? Your what?
It's called a stag do.
Stag do? Get out of here now.
But it's what is commonly known in America as bachelor party. So I'm going from to Benidorm, which is in Spain, go Friday morning, come back very late Sunday evening. So that all my friends and family can get me extremely drunk and hopefully leave my body as it is. No tattoos, no haircuts. But yeah, that happens to be the weekend of Sapporo, which I am gutted about. Like, you know, beggars can't be choosers, but I was really excited to see Nick Nemeth's debut.
Yeah.
Not so much the rest of the card the first night, but like, Yuya versus Tsuji, hair versus hair. Like, I'm dying to see that.
Well, you're getting the women's match, Iwatani and Shirakawa.
Yeah, so on night one, you've got Yuji Nagata versus Zack Sabre Jr., which
that'll
is
be
just
fun.
Awesome.
Dude, I know you don't. You said you don't watch AEW. That Bryan Danielson Yuji Nagata match from a couple weeks ago was fucking awesome.
The match I really keep on meaning to go and watch is Danielson versus Hechicero.
Find time to check that out.
Everyone knows I love my technical stuff. So I've really got to make a point of going and watching.
How do you say his name?
I've not, from other people I've listened to say it, it's Hechicero.
Hechicero. Okay, because I try and like speak it the way it's spelled, and I sound like an idiot. But that's
no, I think it's Hechicero.
If you listen to the Wizards or Bread Club, you know I usually sound like an idiot, so you're used to it by now.
I think it's Hechicero. But yeah, the first night of the final two nights of New Beginnings. So night one, New Beginnings Sapporo, February 23rd. The matches of note. So Okada's penultimate New Japan match. He will be teaming up with Yo Yoshihashi, Hiroki Goto, and Tomohiro Ishii to take on United Empire's Callum Newman, Jeff Cobb, Francesco Chiaro, Great Okan, and TJP. Feels like a big fucking waste to me, but here we are.
What are you going to do? They didn't test. What are they doing with the six-man titles? I know he vacated his.
I would like to know that as well, man.
All right.
Ishii and Tanahashi still the champions, or have they all had to vacate it? I'd be interested to know as well.
All right.
But yeah, then the next match is the notes. Like Matt said, the IWGP Women's Championship is being defended on the New Japan show. Who'd have thought it? Huh? What a novel idea. Mayu Iwatani, the champion, defending against Mina Shirakawa. I'm gutted to not see this. I know we can all watch Stardom whenever we want. Like, we can all watch any wrestling. But of course, you like to see it in your own promotion. That's the way it works. But yeah, I'm very glad to see this. Mina is very great. She's just formed a new stable recently in Stardom. She won the Wonder of Stardom Championship last year. She you might remember, she's the one that got injured by Saya Kamatani, hit a Phoenix Splash and kind of like landed knees first into her face.
And
it like fucked her up, and she went backstage and like her face is swollen, like. I think she might have lost a tooth or something, and she cut that really incredible promo. And then when she came back from injury, she won the title as well. It was a short-lived reign, but she did win the title. But yeah, this will be a fantastic match. Stardom having a very fucking... That's a whole nother podcast. But Stardom,
oh, yeah, I saw the... Look,
firing Rossi Yagawa. What the fuck?
If you want to hear about Rossi Yagawa and Stardom, you want to sign up to the Wrestle In Patreon. Because they're putting out, I get emails like 2-3 times a week. So much bonus content. If you want to put your finger on the pulse of the world of pro wrestling in Japan, WrestleIn is the place to go, people. Come on.
We went hard on Into the Wrestleverse talking about it, me, Libby, and Trent. But then also on the WrestleIn YouTube, youtube.com/WrestleIn, Trent and Fusa did do a YouTube live where they just spoke all things Stardom. There's a million moving pieces. It's if you're a Stardom fan, you're already aware. But yeah, a very turbulent time for Stardom as well. Sixth match, IWDP Junior Heavyweight Championship, El Desperado versus Sho. This is now for the title after Sho stole the title at the New Beginning in Osaka. El Desperado wins. Let's carry on with our life.
I just subscribed to WrestleIn on YouTube.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's what I do.
Let's see. I've not had the email come through yet. Not had the email come through.
I just hit it. Now I'm subscribed. I'm joking. Now I'm in.
But yeah, El Desperado hopefully defeating Sho for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, and everyone can move on with their lives. And hopefully we can have a decent challenger rather than just House of Torture.
Yeah. I think there's some possible challengers on the horizon, I think.
There's no shortage of good juniors that could be challenging. Like Francesco Akira challenging will be awesome. Like their best of Super Juniors match last year, phenomenal. Ultimate babyface. Francesco Akira, like babyface 101. And he was saying in his backstage comments following New Beginning in Osaka, he's like going to be the forefront of United Empire's junior division. He wants that title and got that. He's like 22 or 23, Francesco Akira.
Yeah, he's a kid. He's still baby. Let's go.
That's like, you know, put some money behind this kid, New Japan, and you've got gold on your hands. Never open weight championship. Shota Umino challenging Evil. Do you think, is this it now? The show to get a title?
I think so.
Yeah, I could see it going either way.
I think that's what Evil, like...
Shota would become the first of the Reiwa Musketeers to win a singles title.
Yeah, and look, you gave Tama Tonga his moment at Wrestle Kingdom, right? And then now Evil, this is what Evil does. This is what his role is, right? He's a dick. He steals your belt. He spray paints it. You know, he fucking hits your mother in the head with a frying pan. It's fucking dick to go. Fucking spray paints or whatever. It's fucking bootleg NWO House of Torture. But this is what Evil is. He's a former world champion. So, like, Shota Umino beating him on paper seems like, oh, but then like they'll build it up like, oh, he just beat a former champion and he's the first one of the new Three Musketeers, you know, and I think this is a good move. You don't want to have Shota beat Tama Tonga for the title. We're losing Okada. We're losing Ospreay. Clearly, they like the roughneck. He likes to fight. He's a loner. He fucking walks through the crowd. He leaves Tiger Mask behind. He doesn't come out with Honma. Give him a title. Fuck it. Let's do it.
I could see, despite him not being on this card, he will obviously be in Sapporo. I could see a unexpected run in from Tama Tonga to help Shota, and the crowd loses their mind.
Yeah, you gotta balance out the Ren, because you know Ren Narita, that in his little dirty mustache, is gonna be around the ring somewhere. And fucking Yujiro, what's Yujiro Takahashi doing this for when he's coming to the ring? You creep. You didn't even bring out the girl.
Eighth match on the card: NJPW World TV Championship. Hiroshi Tanahashi taking on.
I don't fucking care at all. What are we fucking doing? What is New Japan doing? Why would you bring him in?
Taking on Matt Riddle.
What are we fucking doing?
Yeah, it's.
And no, why Tanahashi the fucking TV champion?
I'm fine with Tanahashi being TV champion. It's going on to better things for Zach. That's the...
I get it, but this guy's the TV champion now. Now he's the fucking president. He's not doing shit.
Granted, I've not seen Matt Riddle compete since he left the independent scene. I haven't seen a single Matt Riddle match in a WWE, unless I was there. Like, did he compete at Clash of the Castle or something like that? I don't know. But the Matt Riddle I knew on the independent scene was I was a big fan of him. Obviously, the human being, we've discussed it on the last episode of Break Club. Like, we probably don't want to give too much time to Matt Riddle on here, quite frankly.
But that's the thing. Like, why would you want this
associated
guy with all these skeletons in his closet to be a part of, especially such a time when you have so much change going on? You don't need people to associate New Japan with Matt Riddle. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan. Easily the worst interview I've ever done on the Shining Wizard Wrestling podcast. And that's my own fault. It's not his. I'll give him credit where credit is due. He came correct, but I was just...
You can go listen to that podcast by following at Wizards Podcast on Twitter.
Please don't find that interview. I don't know. I don't... This does nothing for me. Like, I just have no interest in this at all. Look, if he shows up and the people go crazy for him and, you know, he's not...
That's going to be interesting. What's the reaction going to be for him? Because the Japanese just naturally, they're not going to be as aware of his transgressions as the Western fans are.
Yeah, I don't know. He opened his mouth again today about Vince McMahon, and it's just Look, it is what it is, but I don't know. It's not my cup of tea. I'm going to move on to the main event, where David Finlay has his first defense of his IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship against Nick Nemeth, which I am really looking forward to.
So am I. Like, I was really looking forward to it, and now as we get closer, I was really positive. I'm now not so confident. I don't know why. I watched Nick Nemeth's promo on TNA, like the first weekly TNA, and it was just so boring. Like, he said nothing for like 10 minutes. But granted, that's not any indication of him as a wrestler, what he can do in the ring. But yeah, I really don't know what to expect here. This could go... I'm not expecting greatness. I'd be happy with good, but I could see it going bad and poorly.
Really? I think...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. I've got... I can't... There's definitely a word for it, but I was optimistic and now I'm pessimistic, that's for sure.
I think this...
Hope I'm wrong.
I think this will be a great main event. I think...
They're going all in. They're having these... They're throwing him into the main event of Sapporo. Like, they... I'm surprised, actually, really, because there's no indication to say that the Japanese audience really give a fuck. Like, the only thing they've got to go on... WWE really isn't that big in Japan. Like, honestly, it's not a big deal in Japan. Like, people know Shinsuke Nakamura, like, WWE, and that's probably the extent of their knowledge of WWE. But I just, like, I think it's a big risk. I do think. Like, but I hope it works, because I like Nick Nemeth. I do like it.
Look, I think it will, and it, you know, he's not a full-time New Japan guy. I think it's more of a device to elevate David Finlay, because I think
100% David's got to be getting a win there.
Yeah, because you look around, right, with no Ospreay and Okada and Jay White gone and Tama Tonga leaving, like it's Naito, it's Shingo, it's Zack Sabre Jr.
Do you think David Finlay is stepping up? Do you think he has? I'm not saying that he can replace Ospreay or he can replace anyone, but do you think he is kind of filling a void in some capacity? Do you think he is stepping up?
Yes, I do. I do. I think this, as much as I hated him becoming the leader of the Bullet Club a year ago, now more than ever, and this all also depends on if, because I know there's been rumblings that the War Dogs aren't all under contract.
Dude, before like heading into Wrestle Kingdom, apparently every War Dog was fucking out of contract. Like, Fightful reported that Alex Coughlin, Gabe Kidd, Clark Connors, and Drill Maloney. Did they say Gabe? I can't remember. They definitely said at least those three were out of contract. And I was shocked when they said Driller Maloney was out of contract. I was like, New Japan gave Driller a contract? Like that quickly? Like, New Japan didn't give Aussie Open a contract for fucking 5 years.
Right.
And then, like, they're not, it's not like you have to sign to get a belt. That's never been the case.
Right.
Minoru Suzuki famously has never signed a contract with New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's been champion, like, never tag team, IWGP. I Intercontinental.
Yeah, never.
Overweight. Yeah, he might not have been tagged. I can't remember. But he's been, yeah, never overweight and never six man. But yeah, like, I was like, that surprised me that if they'd given Driller a contract, like maybe a short term contract, but I figured it would just be you get paid for a tour.
I think more now than ever, you need David Finlay and that group of guys. Like, they need to fucking wreck New Japan. Like,
they need to keep that ante up. He can't go in now and just start having good matches. It's got to have that kind of carnage feel to it. It's got to have that chaotic feel to it. He can't just go in now and have a classic with Nick Nemeth. There's got to be some tables. There's got to be some chairs.
Yep. Suzuki was a tag champion with Takayama.
Oh, well, yeah. Like, Jesus. Back in, like, the mid-2000s, I'm guessing.
Yeah, hey, you asked, man. I'm just
dumb. I was thinking more Suzuki Gun, like recently than the old school Suzuki Gun. But yeah, then you go to the second night, the final night of the New Beginning Tour, and then matches of note. Okada's final match in New Japan before he apparently, according to Fightful, goes to AEW. Are you guys? Let's build this up.
You're going to build it up. Do it.
How long has Okada been with New Japan? Yeah, longest reigning IWGP heavyweight champion. Yeah, most defenses than anyone. He broke Tanahashi's record. Headlined countless Wrestle Kingdoms.
Uh-huh.
However many classic matches, rivalries galore. Yeah. Shibata, Ibushi, Naito, Ospreay. The man is
Omega.
Omega won G1s, won New Japan Cups.
Jay White.
This is Kazuchika fucking Okada. Yeah. Yeah. For his last match,
Matt Riddle, baby.
to take on Matt Riddle on the other side. It's Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kazuchika Okada, Hiroki Goto, Yoshihashi, and Tommy Hiroshi taking on Matt Riddle, Jeff Cobb, Hanare, Great Okan, and Callum Newman. Matt Riddle will be involved in Kazuchika Okada's final ever match. It's a random 10-man tag match.
Okay.
Is Matt Riddle joining United Empire? Is he possibly joining United Empire? Why the fuck? What the fuck is this? Is this New Japan being like, fuck you, Okada?
No, I don't think so. I think it's an opportunity to put Riddle in a high profile match with Okada. But also, what if, just hear me out here.
Don't say that, because that means they're putting some fucking oomph behind Matt Riddle.
No.
What if he might beat Tanahashi, man?
No. What if Great Okan pins Okada?
You're true. If Great Okan pins Okada, I'll buy you whatever shirt you want from the New Japan.
What about Jeff Cobb? What if one of the heavyweights?
If Okada takes a loss,
you think he's that kind of guy?
If Okada gets pinned, he can be on the losing side. If Okada loses here, I'll buy you whatever shirt you want from the New Japan store, like a normal price shirt.
If Okada gets pinned.
Yeah, Okada has to take the loss. He can lose by submission. Right. I'm not going to be that type of prick. But if Okada takes a pinfall submission loss in this match, I'll get you a shot.
All right. deal? I don't know. It doesn't. None of it makes sense to me, Kieran. On paper, it doesn't make sense, but in my brain, I'm like, this is has to be a storytelling device, right? Maybe.
Does it?
I hope so.
His final match. Still, that's the story.
I'm still grasping at awful, you man. Know, like he's leaving. Okada's leaving. Like you have an opportunity to maybe make somebody.
But they've not done that so far. They we haven't spoken about it, and I do want to speak about it. So maybe now we'll just take a quick sidestep. So Okada's final Korakuen Hall. Never Openweight 6-man championships on the line against TMDK.
Yep.
Phenomenal match. Yep. Never in a million years wanted nor expected Kose Fujita to be pinning Kazuchika Okada in this match. That's ridiculous. Fujita's clearly a junior. Like, that's not how New Japan works. 100% expected TMDK to win the titles, though.
Yep, with you.
Tomohiro Ishii and Toyohashi Tanahashi are right there. Shane Haste and Mike Knuckles have a plethora of big tag team maneuvers. The fact that Okada won and then immediately relinquished the titles, what the fuck? It's so weird to me.
Do you think, because they had him, he had not signed a contract, and they put him on this tour.
He's no longer a New Japan wrestler since January 31st, midnight, February 1st, contract expired.
But this tour was announced before January 31st. Do you think they thought he was going to stay?
It's very possible. It's very possible, I suppose so. But
and do you
I
think, just like they're just blindsided by the fact that he's leaving and they just don't know what to fucking do?
I feel like you'd do something. Like the Tanahashi would have been perfect. That no one would have ever had
right.
anything bad
of course.
To say.
Of course.
One day shy of the Rainmaker shock against his greatest rival in the place where it kind of all started for Okada getting the IWGP Heavyweight Championship in Osaka 12 years ago. The stars aligned for that to happen. Like that Okada isn't leaving in March, April, May, June, July, any other month of the year. He happens to be leaving in February, that month when it all began for Okada. And then they just do this random bullshit 10-man tag match, second match on the card.
I'm trying to see like if I can get the timeline here. Because it seems like, what do I have here? This is from The Observer. January 9th, two title matches announced for a Road to New Beginning tour. So that's not that. That's Currican Hall.
It was shortly after Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
It was like a week or two removed.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to see if like it was they like just went
I was
ahead.
In,
and...
I was in my new home. It was mid-January. That's when it was officially announced, though. So who knows when news right. came out.
January 18th.
There we go. So... But carrying on with this card anyway, you get third match on the card, Guerrillas of Destiny versus Guerrillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tangaloa versus El Fantasmo and Hikuleo, Tama Tonga send-off match. This is how you do a send-off match. I know Matt said, like, kind of what's the point, but this makes sense. It's passing the torch, passing the GOD name. We don't know what's happening with Tangaloa, but Tama Tonga certainly deserves his moment in the spotlight, and this is that.
What do you see, Nelly? Sorry, Nelly is very distracted.
I thought you was looking for the spotlight. It was a high.
No, Nelly
saw
like her head just like went up to the ceiling like a maniac. It's a send off. It'll be fine. Whatever. just like Nick Nemeth and Taguchi against fucking David Finlay and Gato.
I think now this one's interesting to me. The fact that Gato is in this match because what was we just saying about all these War Dogs guys and their contracts and everything. It's not, you know, Okada's agreed to work more matches. Osprey's contract probably finished on January 31st as well. Yeah. I thought, because that's historically when New Japan contracts finish, and he no doubt has just agreed to work the extra match for, right. like, was that the case for other guys in that match?
No.
That their contracts were up and they agreed to time, but also, did they want to fly anyone in for just one match? Gato's obviously going to be there.
And Nick Nemeth has to pin somebody, and it ain't David Finlay.
Yeah, no, of course. And then you get into the Just Five Guys versus LIJ singles matches building up to the main event. You've got a fifth match, Taka Michinoku versus Bushi. Sixth match, Hiromu Takahashi versus Doki. Please give the boy Doki a win. Please.
Oh, that'd be huge. I would love that. You know who else I would love to see work their way up the card and be a main player? Taichi. Give me some Taichi, baby.
Well, what do you think of this, Matt? So this isn't official. But backstage, Shingo and Taichi were talking, and they were like, the main events for the title, Yuya and Yota Tsuji putting their hair up for the line. And I was like, what have we got to put up online? We haven't got any titles.
Pants. Please tell me pants.
They suggested their YouTube channels. I don't know how you put a YouTube channel on the line, but this is what they agreed to. And I don't know if it's official. I haven't seen the English New Japan website or Twitter post anything about it, but they are prolific YouTubers.
I mean, I guess that plays to the Japanese crowd. I don't know.
But regardless, again, like I must say, the match on this card for me is definitely the eighth match. Hair versus hair, Yuta Uemura versus Yota Tsuji. We thought this cage match was tragic. I can't believe this is happening. And when I put this tweet up, too many people were saying that Yota Tsuji cannot lose. There is not enough appreciation for Yuta Uemura's hair.
Tsuji's hair is fucking bomb, man.
It is, but Shoji Uemura, he's got that fucking young stud in Noki vibe to him, man.
Noki didn't have hair like Tsuji. Come on,
yeah. Man. Imagine if I'd rather Tsuji. I'm putting it out there. I want Yuji Uemura to win.
Don't say.
I want Yuji Uemura to win.
Motherfucker, unbelievable. This guy's unbelievable, people. So you want to see now? Here's.
He's not going to win. He won a Wrestle Kingdom, but I want you to win.
I got to ask you this now. When we now, hair versus hair, are we talking, right? Because don't forget, I'm from the States now, so I'm used to like the goofy WWE AEW shit where they essentially just give them a haircut. Or are we talking like we're going to shave these motherfuckers' heads?
Well, I'm assuming shave their heads. I'm
come on!
I'm assuming because obviously when you join the New Japan Dojo and you make your debut, black trunks, black boots, no hair.
Yeah.
So they are trying to strip away the personality. They're trying to say that you're a fucking young boy.
Dude, could you imagine Yota Tsuji's giant head with no hair on it? Come on.
We had that once upon a time.
Yeah, but
I remember bald Yota Tsuji.
I don't... Look, bald Yota Tsuji is not in my memory bank here. This luscious Godzilla monster with these flowing long locks. That's what I want. Him with no hair is horrifying. Now, let's see. What if I look up Yuya Uemura without any hair?
Just look up Young Lion maybe or something like that. But these guys had a really good match at Wrestle Kingdom with the time limit. And these two are the standouts of the Bray Wyatt Musketeers. Ren Narita is very, very far in last place. He's trying to use the blue shell and it's just not working. Shota Umino, you can place where you want. I think he's far behind these two personally.
Ah, he'll look fine with no hair, Yuya. He'll be fine.
You're such a... So mean to my boy, Yuya. He's such a hunk. But where...
He could be hunky without hair.
Bread Club Civil War. Matt is on Team Yota Tsuji. I am on Team Yuta Uemura. Let us know in the comments which team you're on. And everyone's going to say Yota Tsuji, I know. But you're all wrong.
Look at Tsuji's hair. It's amazing. Now let me find this Tsuji young lion. I bet he looks like a ghoul.
He's really wrong. And as Matt finds...
That's nice.
Main event. IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Tetsuya Naito versus Sonata. Look, we've spoken about this throughout the episode. We spoke about it in the build to Wrestle Kingdom. We spoke about it post-Wrestle Kingdom. There's really not much to get into here, I don't think.
Well, you think we'll find out who... Is this where Zach confronts Naito afterwards? Or do they go... Because
I know
they
announced... Cup's after.
What?
So, the New Japan Cup's after. So,
right,
I don't think anyone...
Right, so the anniversary show... And they already announced they're doing the champion against the junior, so is...
Naito versus Despy sounds pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, is Despy going to come out and do the old, you know, point of the belt gimmick?
Maybe.
So I think that's what, March 5th?
Yeah, sounds right.
It's like a week after.
But I will say as well, my friend at WrestleIn, Trent, who the guy for all things Stardom, he's actually going to be in Japan for this show. He's going to the anniversary show.
Nice.
So if you want to see live pictures from inside the anniversary show, give him a follow at OneUpCulture on Twitter. Absolutely love Trent. But yeah, that's the new beginning. That will be, we talked about new beginning in Osaka. We previewed new beginning in Sapporo. We are up to date on New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, we are. We are. It's been a blast. Is there anything you want to talk about before we wrap this up, buddy?
I think, look, I want to give a very, very quick shout out to the Hanare and Gabe Kidd match at Coroquin Hall, because we do need to wrap this up. But that match, Matt, did you watch the Gabe Kidd Hanare match in Coroquin?
I did.
Fucking
it was a
hell, man. That was up until New Beginning in Osaka, that was my match of the year. They beat Seven Shades of Shit out of each other. That was New Japan at its best. that was two guys telling New Japan, put all your chips on me, like, let's fucking go, like, have some faith in me, give me the singles run, give me the never title, give me this fucking company. And they knocked out of the park and then some, man. I just so much love for Gabe Kidd and so much love for Hanare for that match.
Well, what do we got? Oh yeah, we'll probably be back in March to talk the rest of the New Beginnings tour, the anniversary show, New Japan Cup.
Yeah, we don't have a specific timing and schedule. It's not going to be that we do the month every single month. We'll do it based around a New Japan schedule so we can jump in when shit is hot.
Of course.
And why is it still relevant? Which is why we didn't speak about Batman and Bunny.
You can find that show on Fightful Overbook, FightfulOverbook.com, Fightful.com, probably one of the only wrestling websites where you should be getting your wrestling information from. So check them out and follow them. You want to follow my man Kieran at KieranRH93 on the Twitter machine, and of course Wrestlin at WrestlinIN. Support them on their Patreon. Again, I can't put it over enough. I support them on the Patreon. They put out content several times a week. They bang for your buck. Honestly, it's great insight, especially if you're...
We have
you're
shirts.
They have shirts.
We have shirt. Singular.
and if you don't, you want to get it more knowledgeable in the West Japanese wrestling, like, Wrestling's the place to go. They do New Japan, All Japan, NOAH, Stardom, Choco Pro, whatever's over there. DDT, they got some. Cool. They got an expert.
If you like Choco Pro, tune in. Hopefully, we'll have something very, very cool, very, very soon.
Look at that. They got an expert for everything over there at Wrestling at WrestleInIN. They got a Discord. It's free. So check them out, man. Don't be a fool. And then I'm doing the Wizards at Wizards Podcast on all forms of social media. Every Monday night, we're live on all forms of social media. I finally figured out how to go live on Instagram. So if you're following us on Instagram, you can watch on Instagram. We're going into WrestleMania season. I'm trying to get a ton of people on the show to talk about the WrestleMania weekend, because it is about an hour and a half away from where we're located. So, tune in and check us out.
Are you going to WrestleMania?
No.
Ah, no. Okay.
No. Not unless somebody I know, his girlfriend works for the Rocks company. Okay. So if he happens to fall into some sweet tickets, then I'll go.
Oh yeah, in a heartbeat, absolutely. No one can fault you there.
I'll tell you what we did when we started the podcast. It was the first time they did WrestleMania in New Jersey, and we did that whole like weekend going to all the shows and wrestle. It's fun, dude.
Oh, it's a blast. There's nothing else like it.
It's a blast, but then for us, like, we were trying to get the podcast name out there, so it was just it was exhausting.
If you're just going as a fan, like, I would love to do a WrestleMania weekend again, not for WrestleMania, just for all the shows surrounding it. Right. In fact, TJPW do shows now, Stardom do shows, GCW do about 20 shows, New Japan tends to do a show. Like, the last WrestleMania I had done was WrestleMania 33. Obviously, it's a very different for me. Matt's got an hour and a half away. I have to fly to America for it. I always regret. I went to NXT. I was like, should we go Ring of Honor or should we go NXT? And we went NXT, and I always regret not going Ring of Honor. I think it was the Bucks versus Hardys in a ladder match or something.
Ah, yes.
I think. And I went to see, like, Bobby Roode when he was doing that glorious bullshit.
Bobby Roode!
But yeah, that's a story for another day. That's been Break Club for another month. We'll be back whenever the fuck we feel like it.
That's it. Hey, how about fucking Kojima becoming the MLW World Heavyweight Champion again?
Kojima, the I love the vets getting this time in the spotlight once again in America. Nagata gets it every so often. Kojima's got it right now. It's great to see.
I love bread.
Come on. Who doesn't love bread? Support Kieran. Support me. Support Fightful Overbooked. We'll be back in a month's time with more. Yeah, give or take. You know, don't think we're coming back March 12th, all right, people? We'll be back in a month. We don't know when. It's like It's like Christmas. You never know. One day you're just going to open your YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcast, and boom, there's going to be a new episode of the Bread Club, and you're going to rejoice. You're going to tweet at Wizards Podcast. You're going to tweet at KieranRH93. You're going to say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, or whatever you believe in. The Easter Bunny, mud, whatever. Tanahashi's stupid hair, worst president ever. You're going to say, thank you so much for the Bread Club. Nelly's going to be happy. Yuki's going to be happy. Hazel's going to be healed. It's going to be a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. But Will Ospreay is going to be wrestling Roderick Strong. Oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love every single second of it.
Put me out my misery, Matt.
Poor Kieran. Thank you guys for supporting. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in about a month. Enjoy your New Japan Pro Wrestling and bread. Eat lots of bread. Get fat, you fucking slobs.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.